Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thank you, Ian. Stephanie Regal joins us now, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, to help walk us through the bankruptcy situation with the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Ms. Regal. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Can I call you Stephanie?
Please do.
Okay.
Of course.
Can I call you Steffi?
No.
No.
Okay. Only because I never went by that. But anyway.
I didn't think so. I just thought I'd push it just to see, because that's what I do, Stephanie. Hey, let's talk about the Archdiocese. Take us, if you can, maybe to put all of this in context, just give us a little bit of background and then tell us where we are now.
So after 5.5 years of this bankruptcy case, more than 650 claims of clergy sex abuse have been filed, and the Archdiocese has been handling it through the bankruptcy court. This is really a mass tort case. They're trying to reorganize their finances to come up with an equitable way to financially compensate these abuse survivors. And it's been a long, drawn-out, messy process, but they now have a plan that has been agreed to by the survivors. 97% of them voted 2 weeks ago to approve it. It is approved by the creditors that do business with the Archdiocese. Obviously, the Archdiocese is behind it. And this, and there is one significant group that is objecting to it, but we can get to that later if you want. But anyway, the big picture is this plan is now ready to go before the court to be confirmed. That will take place over a 10-day trial, basically, beginning next week before Judge Meredith Grable. And it'll have big people like the Archbishop and his financial advisors on the stand. We'll get to hear from clergy abuse survivors who will finally have their day in court and be able to tell their story. And we'll also hear from the group that I mentioned that is objecting to this, bondholders who are still owed some $30 million on a $40 million loan they made to the Archdiocese about 7 years ago. Now, as part of this process, 157 of the church's affiliated parishes and charitable organizations, which up until now have not been, quote, debtors or part of the bankruptcy, they've been independent, are going to be placed into Chapter 11 bankruptcy beginning today. So, you know, we previewed that in a story that I published Monday because we figured people are going to be freaked out, mm-hmm. you know, when they see their parishes are filing for bankruptcy. It's called a mini pre-pack bankruptcy process. It's not a new, you know, concept. It has been used in complicated corporate bankruptcies for a while, apparently. It is relatively new in these church bankruptcies, but the purpose is to basically quickly push the parishes and the other charities through the court in order to shield them from future legal exposure, from being sued by sex abuse claimants who maybe haven't come forward yet. In return, they are going to have to put up some money towards this settlement. The total settlement pot is roughly $230 million. The affiliates that are going to be placed in bankruptcy collectively will be on the hook for coming up with $60 million of that. And that's sort of the rub, because the church does things the way it does, it's not going to make public how much each parish or affiliate is going to be asked to contribute. What the church has said is that no significant, you know, amounts of parish donations will be used. No restricted funds that were made, like as charitable gifts, for instance, will be used. That no school tuition money will be used, and where the money comes from beyond that, we don't really know. Mm-hmm. We do know, I will say, they confirmed that in the case of Second Harvest,
I was getting ready to say,
which is one of their,
you're reading ahead, Stephanie.
One of their highest profile and most impactful charitable organizations, is not, I don't want to say they're not going to have to put up money. Legally, they are going to have to put up money.
But
an anonymous donor has agreed to cover their portion of it, whatever that is. And look, maybe anonymous donors have come forward to cover, you know, the tab for other affiliates as well.
So I'm a little bit confused about why are they putting the different parishes? Is it every parish that's being put into bankruptcy in the Archdiocese of New Orleans? Yes.
It's every parish and almost every charitable organization, which collectively we've been referred to as affiliates or apostolates, they're technically called. There are a few that will not be put into bankruptcy because they just absolutely have no potential for exposure, like the Catholic cemeteries, for instance. You know, I mean, nobody's going to come and sue dead people. Mm. And
well,
like,
but there would be
Catholic Community Foundation, which is literally a bank account. And so that's not to say that the foundation won't factor into this whole reorganization process, but they're not going to be placed into bankruptcy because it's not an organization with humans. It's just a fund, and you don't just put a fund in bankruptcy. So that all of that's not, you know, to get far afield of this. That's just right. To explain that no, not every parish or charity will be, but it's the overwhelming majority of them. They're just a handful that are not.
I'm not trying to be indelicate here, but when it comes to cemeteries, there is the inherent value of the land, but I guess there's something about the law that says you can't foreclose on land, or once land is dedicated to be a burial ground, you can't evict the people that are there already, for want of a better phrase?
Well, I mean, I would imagine, you know, I don't know. I mean, why would you liquidate the cemetery? You know, again.
Well, because it's valuable property, I would think, right?
Well, sure. I mean, and so is the seminary, maybe. I mean, a lot of the property is really not valuable when you're talking about what its liquidation value would be, you know? I mean, sure, okay. There's a big cemetery on the edge of the French Quarter, prime real estate, you know, theoretically.
Again,
theoretically. Who wants to buy a cemetery deal with all of
who
that?
Wants it, and
I mean,
build,
right?
Right, and build on top of it and everything else. But when it comes let me take a break, Stephanie. We'll pick it up when we come back. Because I want to talk to you about the seminary building and all of that in the Archdiocese offices. How do you determine what gets sold off and what doesn't and where the money's coming from? And I know you said there's some questions about that. I have a lot of questions myself. We're talking to Stephanie Riegel, a talented reporter. I've been a fan of hers for a long time, business writer for Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, trying to walk us through the bankruptcy and what's happening in federal court. And could this finally, mercifully, be over for everybody? We'll pick it up. We come back on WWL. 9:23, Tommy Tucker, anxious to get back to Stephanie Riegel because I know her time is limited and valuable and we appreciate it. So, Stephanie, let me ask you this. You look at the churches and you look at the schools and you look at the seminary headquarters, et cetera. If I'm, and I guess the bondholders that are not happy, that $30 million, those bonds preceded the bankruptcy, that bond sale, or did it not?
No, the bond sale preceded the bankruptcy.
It did, right. Okay, so.
It did. It was 2017. It was unsecured debt. And I can't tell you why, but you're kind of SOL. If you're unsecured debt in a bankruptcy, you know that. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but that is a risk that institutional investors face. And as a percentage of the total settlement, the bondholders payment, which is going to be 10% of what they're owed, computes out to roughly what the abuse survivors also will get, which is 10% of the value of a claim, which was, you know, valued by the financial consultants at, you know, something like $1.3 billion. And then the bankruptcy proposes paying 10% of that, which is $130 million, plus there's all sorts of other money that's getting thrown into the settlement pot. Now, I know that's very confusing, but what I'm just giving you the argument. Yeah. Bondholders, they might have a little, they can make some noise and they can try to negotiate for more than $3 million, but they don't really have that much of a leg to stand on. I can almost promise you they're not going to screw up this settlement.
Tim, look up the expression SOL for me, please. I'm sure it's some kind of Latin phrase or something that Stephanie used. I'm sure there's some kind of Latin background to that. So let me ask you this. When it comes to church properties, you know, I was talking about cemeteries before, but when it comes to parish facilities, those are protected under bankruptcy law, or because the church is only going to have to pay, the archdiocese is only going to have to pay 10% of the claims, they won't have to go into selling these things? I'm a little bit confused about that because...
No, I mean, they're going to sell properties. They already have sold properties. Some of the properties are owned by the individual parishes and affiliates. Some of the properties are owned by the mothership, the archdiocese itself, and we've seen the liquidation of those properties over the past few years. That's how I got into actually covering this as a business writer. The 1000 Howard Avenue, which is being converted to a hotel or something, allegedly. That's an example of one. A piece of parish-owned real estate that we've seen successfully transfer and undergo redevelopment is the Our Lady of Lourdes on Napoleon Avenue, and separately, the school next door, which was torn down to make way for a Trader Joe's. And those monies, by the way, are going towards the settlement. A huge piece of the settlement is coming from the sale of Christopher Homes, the low-income senior housing. That's going to throw another $70 million into the pot. And that's after debt to the federal government is paid off, HUD loans. So, no, real estate is being sold. Will there be more from the individual parishes? I would say yes, based on what the church has said. But I can't tell you how much. And
let me ask it this way.
With the cemetery example, though, I mean, like, why aren't they selling the seminary? Seriously? I mean, it's like...
The seminary or the cemetery?
Well, any of it. Okay. I mean, you mentioned the Notre Dame Seminary.
Yeah, let's talk about
before
that.
Before the break.
Right.
Well, why... I mean... Look, this is a reorganization plan. It's not a liquidation.
Gotcha.
There is a document in the case called a liquidation analysis that shows what these properties would, you know, presumably fetch if they were sold. But we've talked about this before, too. There are churches and church buildings all over this town that nobody wants to buy. So, this settlement has been agreed to. it's been agreed to, so it's sort of a moot point now. Like, we're not looking to sell Notre Dame Seminary anymore or the windows in the St. Louis Cathedral, which, you know, was proposed at one point last year when they first started negotiating. Everybody knew then that they wouldn't, but the survivors have voted on this plan. They're okay with it.
With the amount that and is up to be handed out, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So now it's
which is $230 million. It's going to be divided up. Some survivors are going to get more than others. But look at it this way. I mean, if theoretically, and it's not going to work this way, but if the 157 additional debtors, as we now call them, all contributed equally to, you know, the $60 million, that would, you know, that would only be something like $500,000 each. So, you know, the bar is really not that high. And I think you are going to see anonymous donors contributing. And I think they're going to find money from places that really aren't going to be terribly painful for, you know, the parishes and the other faithful in the town. I mean, you know, it's not easy. There's nothing about this that's been easy. But
at what point, Stephanie, just I know you got to go, but would all of this be over where the survivors are have gotten as much as they can get? The bondholders let it go. The archdiocese is out and Archbishop Amon says that's it and turns it over to the new archbishop. You have any idea?
Well, you know, there are going to be little strings that we're going to be tying up for a long time. Mm-hmm. But if the judge at the end of this trial, which runs through like December 2nd, mm-hmm. if she confirms the plan, then that's pretty much the final word.
Okay.
And if that happens, then the abuse survivors will begin to see money early next year. Now, the bondholders might appeal her ruling, so there will be that legal drama going on. But this case has been strange from the beginning, but I would be really surprised if it completely derails the settlement.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate your time and your patience. I really do. It's complicated stuff, but I know you are on top of it. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
You bet. Bye. 9:31, time for traffic now on WWL. 9:38, 22 till 9, joined now by one of the talented young reporters at WWL Louisiana, Alyssa Curtis, whom I had the pleasure of meeting at the, I think it was the Press Club Awards, wasn't it?
It was. It was a good time.
It was. How you doing? All right?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Before we get to the serious matter here, what grade would you give me for emceeing?
Oh, A+. That was great.
Yeah, that was nice. Thank you. Let's talk about, seriously, what's going on in Lafourche Parish. You've been all over this, and this is a mess. Tell me the story.
Yeah, a lot of people are really frustrated. I can just, you know, once we post on Facebook and do our stories, the amount of comments we get is absolutely crazy.
Tell me what's going on.
So this happened in the beginning of the school year, but it seems to just be coming to light now because of the most recent Lafourche Parish school board meeting. So according to the lawyers in this situation and the meeting that happened on November 5th, there was an incident that was going on at Sixth Ward Middle School. The lawyers for one of the girls says that there were AI-generated nude photos of her going around and being circulated. They say the boys were kind of showing them to each other in school. So they essentially put her face on a nude body. And the lawyers say that she went and did everything she was supposed to. She went to school officials, the counselor, and said, hey, this is going on. And the lawyers say that they didn't take any corrective action. And by the end of the day, they put her on the bus.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure.
Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
With the boy who was circulating the photos, and they say that she just got to a breaking point, essentially. And on the bus, this boy was continuing to show these pictures, and she had enough, and there was some sort of physical altercation on the bus. After that physical altercation, she was expelled, seemingly because they have a zero tolerance policy. So she was expelled, and so
wait, let me just slow you down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So just so I understand this, the girl finds out that they're circulating, which, as I understand, and we'll get to that in a minute with Pat Connick and his law, that there was there were AI-generated fake nude photos of her being circulated around. She went to the authorities and reported this. They didn't do anything, and on that same day, they put her on the bus with the same kid that was still showing the pictures?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the lawyers and the school board both say that there was some sort of investigation into what happened. But the lawyers say it wasn't really an investigation, that it was very haphazard. They wouldn't allow her to call her dad, even though she requested to call a parent. They said, we're not involving parents at this time. So they said, yes, you say there's an investigation, but it wasn't, no corrective action was taken. No phones were confiscated. And you still allowed her to get on the bus with this boy. And of course, there, you know, the lawyers are saying, of course, she got to a point where she felt like she had nothing, she couldn't do anything else, and she wanted this to stop. So this, at the November 5th school board meeting, her lawyers came to before the school board and asked, you know, can this expulsion be reversed? This is not fair to her. You know, you guys failed her in how you failed to act. They eventually amended the expulsion. So she technically, the expulsion is still there, but she was allowed to come back to school immediately. But she's on a probationary period. So it's unclear whether this expulsion will still be on her record and what that looks like, but she's not allowed to do extracurricular activities or anything like that. So there's still a lot of frustration here.
What happened to the kids who are generating the pictures or circulating the pictures that they generated?
So it's unclear who generated these photos, but the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office says that one boy involved in this incident was charged with 10 counts of unlawful dissemination of images created by artificial intelligence. And they do say that the investigation is ongoing and additional arrests and charges are possible. But during that school board meeting last week, the superintendent admitted on the record that this behavior was so pervasive, and there was, he says, at least half a dozen children were involved in this incident. So as this investigation continues and as we continue, you know, reporting on this, it could very well be that a lot of kids were involved in this. And we're even getting Facebook comments saying, you know, my daughter was involved in this, or there's more than just one victim in this case. So we're really trying to dig a little deeper and see what the extent of this behavior really is.
Tell me about Pat Connick and his law and what it says about AI generated photos.
So I'm not as familiar with this law. So we've been doing a little bit of breaking up this coverage because it's such a huge story.
Sure.
But looking at the reporting that my colleague Mike McDaniel did, Pat Connick said to him, AI is coming at us very fast and furious. And in this case, the bill works. So it became law after the 2024 legislative session. So it's a very brand new law. And he essentially says, we saw, you know, what could happen with this. It's moving so fast. So it seems like just, you know, I'm not as familiar with this law as Mike McDaniel is, but it seems like they just really want to get a hold of this specific behavior and, you know, the damage that AI generated images can do, especially, you know, these kids are so young. It seems like they don't really know the extent and, you know, what the damage of these artificial intelligence images can do. So it really seems like they really want to just get a hold of the bad things that can happen that come out of artificial intelligence.
So what happens next, Alyssa?
It's kind of unclear. It's been really hard to get any information from officials on this story because it does involve juveniles. So we know now that some boy is charged with this law. He's eventually going to have to go before a judge, and, you know, I imagine a court proceeding as the process goes on with these charges. Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office also says the investigation is ongoing. So it seems like they really want to get to the bottom of who created these images, if there were more children circulating these images. It's unclear on the school side what is happening. They've sent me a few statements saying that essentially they did what they were supposed to. They said the evidence suggests that the school district did in fact follow all of our protocols and procedures. They also say that this case, like we mentioned, the case was brought to law enforcement immediately. So there's still a little bit of gray area here about what happens next, but there's some sort of criminal justice aspect to this. And we know it has to go through the courts at this point now.
You know, as a parent, it just seems to me as though the school system failed this young lady terribly in so many different ways, and now she's still being punished, right?
Yeah, that's what her lawyers are arguing, that, you know, and through the lawyers, the family has told me that, you know, while what the boy did was not great, it was not a good action, you know, they really do want to focus on the adults in this situation, and they feel that that's really where all of this whole situation was really born out of and was the root of this issue. They say that she did everything she was supposed to, counselors, teachers, and they say that teachers and these people in schools are supposed to protect these children from situations exactly like this, and they didn't hear her, they weren't taking the corrective action. So the family is really focused on the failures and the alleged failures of the adults in this situation, and that's where they feel like this all stems from.
So as I understand it, the amount of the physical altercation was, it's not as though she took a baseball bat to the kid or anything, which if it was my kid, I'm not one to advocate that kind of thing, but emotionally it can get to you. But all she did was swatted the phone out of his hand, right?
Yeah, so we got part of a video that shows part of the incident, and the lawyers admit that there is a longer version of a video from the surveillance cameras that were on the school bus. They do not have access to this. We have not been successful in obtaining this video. But the video that we do have shows that the boy was showing pictures to someone next to him on the school bus. And you can hear in the background, you know, there's chit-chat and kids on the bus. So it's hard to make out what they're saying, but she says, you know, stop it. Am I the only one who's going to do something here? And she swats at him and she hits him in the head. What I saw wasn't a punch. It wasn't, you know, pummeling of this kid. The way that the school board described it, though, in that November 5th meeting was much more violent. It seemed like it had escalated much further than this. The lawyers say, though, that what we saw on the video that we have is much of what happened throughout the rest of the incident. So they say it didn't escalate much further than that. So there's still somewhat of a gray area that we're, again, trying to figure out and trying to get that video from the school bus.
Are there some kind of undercurrents here, Alyssa, that maybe might exist that are not coming to the forefront?
Yeah, there seems, just, you know, talking to the community and looking at, again, the comments that we're getting.
Because it makes no sense is why I'm asking you this. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It seems like we're missing part of it. And I think a lot of the community feels this way, that there must be something else that we're missing. But looking at, you know, again, our comments and stuff, they're saying that this has happened before, it seems like. And a lot of parents feel like adults at the school and the school district have not been protecting the kids. So again, we're really trying to dig here and see what happened and why it seems like no corrective action was taken, but then the finger pointing turned to this little girl.
Everybody's got a story. What made you want to become such a journalist? Because you really are, and that impresses me about you. What is it that makes you want to do that?
I think I've always just been really curious. And then, you know, starting in this industry and learning what this industry was, just talking to people. I really love talking to people and helping them and getting to the bottom of, you know, whatever story it is that I'm looking into, where does this stem from? What's really going on here? And I like to look for the truth. So I think that's what I always strive for, and the truth and to be fair.
Do you ever find yourself talking to yourself inside of your head, because I do, about really what is absolute truth?
Yeah, a lot of times. And sometimes, you know, you're at your desk and you're looking at a story and you're spending so long on it, you know, you're saying, you know what, let me go take a walk, clear my head.
Right, exactly. But wait a minute, but this, but that, but if that, but wait, but that, and that. I got you. You do a great job, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. You too. Alyssa Curtis, WWR Louisiana reporter, 950, 10 till 10. Quick break, then we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.